This week in the markets, the Fab Five dominance is starting to look worrying, and US inflation data this week will shine a light on the upcoming interest rate pivot. The broadening out of the market rally that began last autumn looks to have run out of steam. The headline S&P 500 index, dominated by the so-called Fab Five of Nvidia, Alphabet, Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft, has continued to push on into uncharted territory at nearly 5,500. But the equal weighted index that reflects the wider market has drifted for 3 months now. Between October last year and March, the two indices pretty much tracked each other. Over that period, both rose by about 27%. Since then, however, there's been a big divergence. Since October, the S&P 500 is now up 33%, while the equal weighted index is up by a more modest 23%. Since March, the equal weighted index has fallen by 3%, while the headline index has added another 4%. It's not a huge difference, but it suggests that investors are becoming increasingly dependent on the Fab Five for the market feel-good factor. The rest of the market is starting to reflect a growing sense that 2 years of higher interest rates really is beginning to have an impact on the economy, and it's positioning itself for tougher times. This should worry investors because a market that's dependent on one positive growth story, in this case, the potential for AI to transform the global economy and drive long-term productivity and earnings growth, is a market that's vulnerable to a change in sentiment. It would only take a small decline in expectations for AI beneficiaries to turn a fragile and narrowly focused bull market into a broader bear market. We're not there yet, but it's something to keep an eye on. To put some more numbers on this, since March, the value of Nvidia has risen by 45% and that of the Fab Five as a whole by 11%. The wider index is worth 2% less than it was 3 months ago. So is the strength of the rally in the big tech stocks justified by fundamentals? Well, for much of the recent past, the rise in tech share prices really has been driven by rising sales and earnings. Nvidia's revenues have grown by 50% a year for the past 5 years, for example. But in the past 3 months, there's been only a modest increase in earnings expectations. What's changed over the past quarter is that valuations have started to take off. Valuations have been one of the reassuring features of the tech boom of the past 10 years or so. Compared with previous investment bubbles, the Nifty 50 in the 1970s, Japan in the 1980s, the dot-com bubble in the 1990s, valuations have been kept in check by fast rising earnings. According to Goldman Sachs, the valuation of the biggest companies recently stood at around half the level the same giant companies reached in 2000. But that started to change in a worrying sign that a new bubble may be starting to inflate as momentum and greed take over from investment fundamentals. In the past quarter, the average PE ratio of companies like Nvidia and Apple has risen by 20%. Since last October, the same measure is 50% higher. Again, it is possible to argue that this is justified. If the optimists are right about the AI revolution, then we could be on the cusp of a big uplift in profitability. And maybe they're right too, that the big winners from all this will continue to be the companies that look like the winners today. As the likes of Microsoft and Apple have shown in recent years, a dominant position in tech is hard to attack. But it's not a given. A look back at the dot-com bubble shows that companies like Intel and Cisco did not live up to their promise at the height of the bubble. Their share prices soared and just as quickly came back down to earth as the internet revolution evolved, and the winners turned out not to be the builders of the infrastructure, but the companies that benefited from it. Another way of looking at the recent rally is to consider that not all the current winners can come out on top, for the simple reason that the money that's boosting Nvidia's revenues is at the same time a cost for many of the other Fab Five. Either the projections for chip sales are right and Nvidia wins at the expense of the others, or the forecasts are too optimistic and relatively the others do better than Nvidia. One thing to keep an eye on is the relative performance of different sectors in the rest of the market. What we've seen in the past 3 months is a big outperformance by the most defensive sectors like utilities and consumer staples, the more cyclical areas of the market, like energy, industrials, and materials, have performed the worst. What this is pointing to is a slowdown in the economy and investors looking to shelter in the most defensive stocks. This also partly explains the relative outperformance of Apple over the more speculative AI-focused stocks. Beneath the surface, investors are preparing themselves for more difficult times ahead. One question is how that starts to show up in earnings forecasts. Currently, there doesn't seem to be much to worry about on that front. Indeed, all around the world, earnings expectations are picking up. In the important US market, double-digit earnings growth is being penciled in for both this year and next, and those forecasts are holding up, whereas usually they start to drift as the year goes on. The other key drivers of where markets head in the second half of the year are likely to be interest rates and politics. On the first question, expectations have got progressively more market unfriendly as the year has gone on. The expectations at the start of the year that there will be a string of rate cuts by the end of 2024 have disappeared, and the Federal Reserve now believes it will only cut maybe once this year. It's a similar story over here and elsewhere around the world, where the reluctance of the US central bank to ease policy is making it difficult for others to cut, even if they'd like to. This week, we'll get the latest inflation data from the US, which should give us a clearer idea of when and by how much interest rates can be cut in America. The expectation is that the inflation picture should improve modestly, with the underlying rate of inflation heading back towards the Fed's 2% target. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, the Fed's preferred measure, is forecast to have fallen to 2.6% in May from 2.7% in April. That suggests that CPI, which fell in May to 3.3%, is also headed lower. Here in the UK, last week's return of inflation to the Bank of England's 2% target brings forward the expected turn in our own interest rate cycle, although the bank held fire last week, leaving rates at a 16-year high of 5.25%. The concern for the bank is not the headline rate, but the underlying picture for wages, still running at 6% a year, and services inflation well above target at 5.7%. On the political front, there's plenty of sound and fury, including a snap election in France to counter a resurgent far right, a betting scandal within the ruling Conservative Party here, and the prospect of the first presidential debate in the US as that election gets underway in earnest. Whoever wins, however, investors know that the real issues that affect markets are fiscal. They're concerned not about the politicians' promises, but the reality of a US government spending 7% more every year than it takes in via taxes, the prospect of a populist government in France that moves away from the tax and spend discipline of EU membership, and two parties in the UK that have been less than candid with voters about the difficult fiscal trade-offs that lie ahead. As long as we continue to want European-style public services but American-style taxes, politicians will continue to dodge the difficult questions that investors have to address.
Please note that the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may get back less than you invest. Investors should note that the views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. This information is not a personal recommendation for any particular investment. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to one of Fidelity's advisors or an authorised financial advisor of your choice. Overseas investments will be affected by movements in currency exchange rates, and investments in emerging markets can be more volatile than other more developed markets. Reference to the specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Tax treatment depends on individual circumstances and all tax rules may change in the future. Withdrawals from a pension product may not be possible until you reach age 55, 57 from 2028. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. This podcast is meant only for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation.